in The Beast. There had been plenty of carping among Broadway veterans about the impending arrival of a show backed by the deep pockets of a giant corporation. Disney had swept away the traditional role of Broadway producers, backers, the whole ritualized development process of backers auditions and wealthy Broadway angels who put up the money for shows. Disney simply financed the show itself from start to finish. Eisner had deliberately shunned the Broadway creative community, insisting that the show use artistic talent from Disney's theme park theatrical productions. One exception was the costume designer. One executive involved insists it was because Eisner didn't want to have to deal with the Broadway unions, and there was plenty of skepticism about transplanting an animated musical to the stage. The audience gave the show a standing ovation, and the buzz was positive. The day after the show opened, the Palace set a Broadway record by selling $700,000 worth of tickets. Reviews were surprisingly good. Variety, however, captured the larger point when it wrote that it will almost certainly be met with varying levels of derision by Broadway traditionalists. The complaints, however, will be meaningless where it counts, which is at the Palace box office. Disney's first Broadway show will be packing them in and thumbing its nose at the naysayers for a very long time. Whatever the artistic merits, the show was a triumph for Disney, an amazing achievement considering the odds of succeeding on Broadway, especially for a first-time producer. Hundreds of talented people worked on the show, so allocating credit for the success was difficult, if not pointless. But it was Katzenberg who had pushed for it, persuaded Wells to finance it, and talked a reluctant Eisner into going along. Nonetheless, Eisner insisted that Katzenberg's name be deleted from the program credits. Katzenberg pretended he didn't care, but he did. Still, he figured Eisner knew the truth. The intense strains between Eisner and Katzenberg were increasingly apparent inside the studio, which emboldened other executives to disagree with Katzenberg, and even go around him to Eisner. Another screening of Toy Story that month led to a sharp split within the Disney executive ranks. Lasseter had embraced Katzenberg's idea for a buddy movie, and Katzenberg felt the movie, while still seriously flawed, was now on the right track. Schneider disagreed, so much so that they thought it was hopeless. He lobbied Roy to shut the production down and write off the losses. Roy took the matter up with Eisner, who called Katzenberg. "Should we shut this down?" he asked. Katzenberg wasn't thrilled that once again his deputy, Schneider, had done an end run around him to Roy and Eisner. But he pointed out that under the agreement with Pixar, Disney's contribution was limited to $21 million, much of which had already been spent. Pixar would have to fund anything over that, so there wasn't much downside risk. He argued strongly that Lasseter should have another chance. Even though Eisner had never been enthusiastic about the concept for the movie, he agreed. "Fine," he said. "Go ahead." Katzenberg also clashed with David Vogel, who ran the Walt Disney Pictures label. Vogel had steadily gained stature as his low-budget, family-oriented films like Homeward Bound proved to be reliable moneymakers. Still, despite his speech to Eisner and other executives in which he'd outlined his ambitious agenda, he felt he was relegated to films with animals, children, and third-tier actors and directors. It was